Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. We just had on economist Stephen Mencking. If you joined us late, from the Amateur Society, high energy and great information in that interview. They covered a lot of ground. Not only, you know, the economy, the direction of the economy, precious metals, the housing market, and a little bit of the world economy. And folks, don't forget to go, and check out the Amateur Society as well as on theobjective.org, which is a new venture that they've launched to do podcasts. But this hour, we have, and through the, for the rest of the show, we have a new guest, Pastor Keith Idun. His website, Food Survival Store. And don't be fooled by that. He is a pastor, and he's the author of The Prepper and the Preacher, A Spiritual Survival Guide. And we're going to be talking with him here shortly. Pastor, are you with us?
I'm with you. How are you?
I'm good. Joe Hagman here, my father and co-host Doug Hagman, is working in the office getting some investigative reports done. So it's just you and me tonight. I want to welcome you to the Hagman Report, and I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Pastor Keith Idun?
You got it. That's good enough. You're good.
I'm terrible with names, so you have to forgive me. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Joe. I've been a listener for quite some time, and I love you guys, your show. You guys had a couple guests in the past that actually made me look at my theology and say, you know what? That guy really knows something. I need to go and do some more studying.
Yeah, and you know, that's such a wonderful thing. So often in our society and in our culture, and especially even in the church, is where we see so much resistance to for people to be corrected by others, corrected by pastors, corrected by even the Holy Spirit sometimes. And it's very refreshing when it does happen, because that tells me that people are open and receptive to you know, what the Lord is saying versus what their own minds have made up for them as how this is going to play out. And that's always, I mean, that's the goal. So I think that's wonderful.
Well, Brother Joe, you hit it on the head, and I'm thankful that you had me on here. Is it possible by any chance, sometimes have a format, is it possible that I do a quick prayer before we start?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. Father, I thank you for bringing us on this show today. I thank you for this show, for Doug and Joe, and for their show. Father, I ask you to just bless the listeners tonight. Holy Ghost, I ask you to speak through my lips, to let the people hear, not just with their ears, but with their heart. And Father, I ask that you will just cover Doug and Joe with the blood of Jesus. Keep your angels encamped around them, and keep the wall of fire around their station, Father. Just protect them throughout the night and day, and keep a wall of fire around their house and their property, Father God. And Father, I just thank you for what you're going to do through the show, and I thank you what you're going to do for Doug and Joe this year, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay,
amen.
Brother.
Thank you for that, Pastor. If we can, I talked with John earlier, and he kind of gave me a little information on your background, and one of the things that stuck out to me, and if you don't want to start here, we can start somewhere else, but he explained to me that, like Pastor Langford, who's a regular guest each and every Wednesday night on our show, you really didn't want to be a preacher. You were called more than deciding, I want to be a preacher. Is that correct?
That's very correct. Let me tell the listeners out there, I was the guy just 15, 20 years ago. I was the guy at the nightclub. I used to be a bartender and a bouncer down in Miami, Florida. I was living there for some years. I lived there in a good chunk of my life, and I also lived in New York as well. I was the guy that you would see with further years back. I had to be the guy you see with the real nappy hair, pants sagging down, and gold teeth filled in his mouth. That was me. And I knew there was a call on my life from an early age, but I ran from it, kind of like Jonah. I spent a good chunk of time running from it. And then eventually God finally got his way. And here I am today. I'm a pastor, and I am also a prepper. I walk the talk. I don't just talk the talk, I walk it. I believe in preparedness spiritually as well as physically, but as my book is titled, the Prepper and the Preacher, a spiritual survival guide, I believe it's more important to be prepared spiritually, because the things that are coming down the pike in this country, we have to be on our game spiritually. And don't get me wrong, I support preparing physically. I do it and I believe in it, storing food and water and all that good stuff. But being prepared spiritually is more important. And I'm going to give you guys a handful to run away with tonight. So you could say, you can either say this pastor's crazy or this guy knows something in his head.
Well, you know, To some out there, everything that's on this show that is on an alternative media platform is crazy nowadays, but I guess that doesn't define, you know, that's not, we can't look at people's opinions anymore. I don't know. At the beginning of the show, we were talking about the insanity and just how far away from common sense the media has gotten, the base of people that are anti-Trump, and even on people on both the left and the right. I guess it doesn't really matter. We're seeing it more from the left right now. But the amount of the lack of common sense, the lack of any reason or semblance of critical thinking. And I guess this is a good place to really start the spiritual battle that is behind this culture of division in this country. How much do you think it is people acting on their own prejudices, their own opinions and the opinions of those they follow versus how much of this is a dark spiritually driven agenda?
Part of it is definitely demonic. That is what it is. There's been a whole lot of demons set out things, and I'm talking about things in the unseen realm that are influencing people. To dumb it down for folks who are like, okay, what is he talking about? Well, let's just visualize the old Tom and Jerry cartoons that we used to watch growing up, where you had Tom was about to do something, and then the little good angel would come over on Tom's shoulder and say, "Now, Tom, don't you do that. That's not nice." But then that little red devil would come on the other shoulder and say, "Go ahead, do it. Just give him a whack." And we're in that situation today in this country where there's so much demonic warfare that people literally have some of these little demons on their shoulders. And the sad part is, because Christianity or the Word of God, because it's been belittled so much by design, I might add, that people are succumbing to these evil spirits and they don't even realize it. And then, of course, you know, then they wonder why some of this foolishness is happening in our country. And it's been just a systematic removal of taking the Ten Commandments out of the school, taking the Word of God out of the school, to go ahead and penalize people for preaching Jesus or because it might offend somebody. And then of course, it's just been ramped up, of course, under the last administration. I hate to get political, but sometimes it just goes hand in hand. And, you know, under the last administration, some of the bills and the things that were done where it was blatant in-your-face attacks on people who believe in the Bible. I mean, by virtue, I know I could be on a terrorist watch list. No, I'm not a terrorist, but because I'm a Bible believer, I support the Constitution because that's the rules of law, the rules and laws for our country. That's just common sense. You know, I believe in homeschooling. I homeschool two of my kids. You know, it's like, well, hold on, he could be a potential, and that's just total nonsense. But this is where we're at. And people have to recognize it now that in some cases, you know, saying it is what it is. This is a spiritual battle, and it's boiling over into the natural realm. And I could tell you something, Joe. There's times where even I look at things and I drop my jaw and I say, "Lord, only you know." And we all can sit there and just, you know, as people with a conservative mindset and say, "Oh gosh, you got to be kidding me." But the blinders down, the devil has pulled some really good tricks in the last couple of years, because I mean, you have to think about this. The scriptures are really alive when Jesus said we'll be at war with those of our own house. You know, it's literally, we're supposed to be a Christian nation, but we're warring with each other. And they say, according to statistics, 70% of the people in this country claim they're Christian. So how could there be so much division in this country and we're at each other's throats? I mean, we gotta look at it for what it is. Just last night, I was in the gym, and I'm in the gym, and I know this guy. I know he's supposed to be a Christian, but I know he was a heavy supporter of the young lady who was running for the presidency. I won't even say the name. And I'm on the workout mill right next to him. We're both doing our little walking and jogging and talking. And I mean, because I wasn't supportive of her getting in office, I mean, you want to see this guy rail up like you think I talked about his mama or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's been so common this last election cycle. And I'm 33 years old. I've been paying attention to politics for at least half my life, and especially after 9/11. I thought George Bush was the worst president we ever had, and then Obama came along, and the things that he did just were worse than what George Bush did. So, you know, I've been real, and we've been talking about this on the show this last week, I've been real cynical about politics. It was to the point where it wasn't so much wanting Donald Trump to win, it was wanting to make sure that his opponent didn't win, but that now that he gets in, and Pastor Langford said this last night, that the nation suffers from a form of, you know, abused spouse syndrome due to the amount of negativity and the backstabbing and the going away from the Constitution and the laws that have happened, and that now that we are getting a reprieve, if you will, or blessings, we don't know how to handle those blessings because we have the mindset of, you know, a battered spouse. And I thought that was really accurate. And what you said about the level, you know, people who, I've never seen the opposition so intent that if you have a difference of opinion, they do act like you just, you know, hit their family member, their wife, or whatever. It digs at something so much more than even a personal conflict does at many times. And that's very confusing to me to see the reactions that we're getting from people who just disagree with you. It's to the point where you can't even disagree with somebody. And the party that's promoting tolerance is the most intolerant that I've ever seen. And it's very confusing and frustrating at the same time.
Well, you know, I'm thanking God that he's opening my eyes to see who's who, because, you know, the scripture said he's dividing the sheep from the goats. And, you know, even with talking to the young man last night, as much as he tried to defend his candidate and his beliefs, every time I referred back to the Bible and to the scripture, and I gave him verse upon verse, because it's in my heart, it's in my spirit, and I'm giving him to him, he would always say, then he eventually just back down and said, you know what, I don't even know why you believe in that thing, it's just a book. And I'm saying, this guy's supposed to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at him like, so he exposed himself. I just let him expose himself, and I was like, okay, see, now I know that I shouldn't even be quoting scripture to you because you don't even read it. So I'm like, all right, never mind. So, you know, saying that, I'll just leave that alone, because, you know, we are in a period, a day and age of deception, and I have a few things I'm just sharing with the Hagman listeners, and I haven't shared on any other radio show, and I'm gonna give you guys a full blast of deception. Do you remember that Malaysian Airlines, that plane?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The disappearing plane.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, I listen to your show, I listen to other shows. You know, because you're informed, my friend, you know how hard it is to just lose a plane.
Okay? I would say it's impossible in today's day and age with the black boxes, the secondary black boxes, the communications that are in put into a plane. And not only that, you know, the satellite technology and capabilities of tracking. I mean, every part of this earth basically can be observed almost in real time, I imagine, by most governments or many of them, and somehow this plane just vanishes for weeks and months, and they still don't have a definitive answer. I think they found some seats or something, but it's been answered.
Yeah, well, I'm going to answer it tonight. I'm going to give a partial answer and let the listener, figure out the rest. You see, there are some Christians who don't believe, you know, cessationist Christians. And every Christian, you're my brother. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe he died for your sins and you're trying your best to not sin, you're my brother. But yeah, we do in even in the Christian faith, we have our divisions. Some believes in this, some doesn't believe in that. Okay, I believe, you know, that Jesus did do what he do, but I believe the disciples did it, but not everybody after that. Or, you know, there's a little differences here and there, and I have grace for that, I understand. But I'm one of those guys, I believe it. Call me whatever you want, I believe it, because I've experienced it, I've seen it. You know, I've seen the miracles, I've seen the deaths get their hearing restored by people laying hands and praying over their ears. I've seen cancer patients get dramatically, supernaturally healed, people who were written off for death. I've witnessed it. So there's no shaking my faith, because I've got to walk through it. And I'm thanking God because he's going to let me see more. But I'm bringing up that plane because I went to a church. And one day at a church, I went down a random visit. I'm African American, about 40 years of age. This church was run by two Caucasians who are friends of mine. I'm just showing the dynamics here. Her husband just passed away. He's a pastor, and she pastored with her husband. They're both Caucasian. We're total opposites, different backgrounds, but we're connected by the blood of Jesus Christ. I go to her church. She says, Pastor Keith, I just feel led of the Lord for you to get up and pray, to preach a word. I didn't come there to prepare it. I said, okay, fine. The Lord told me to preach on being translated. I talk about that. I said, okay, there's ways of being supernaturally translated. Whoever wants to believe it can believe it. Who doesn't want to? It's been done by many people in the Bible. You don't apply it. People in Satanism and Illuminists, they do it. They know how to do it, but they're doing it by dark energy, by powers of darkness to do it. A believer in Jesus Christ does it for you when he feels like it. Now, this is biblical. Ezekiel chapter 8, he was taken and seen what was going on behind the scenes in the temple. The book of Acts chapter 8, Philip the Evangelist, he was moved supernaturally 30 miles in less than 1 second. He was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, then wham, down the street preaching to a bunch of Jews. So, it's biblical. You can check the Bible, check me out. It's called being translated. I'm at this church. I preach on this. After I'm done preaching, the pastor's wife is an 80-year-old woman. She says to me, Brother Keith, I know the Lord sent you here today. I'm like, why? What's up, sister? She said, I only could tell one person about this because if I told anybody else, they would think I was crazy or losing my mind. I said, why? She said, it happened to me. I said, really? She said, yes. What happened? She said, do you remember when that plane disappeared and it was on the news, that plane? That I said, you mean the Malaysian Airlines? She said, yes. She says, well, this is what happened to me. I went to sleep that night. The Lord took me to an island, and there was some island in the middle of nowhere. I can't tell you where. Now, let me just pause the story. She doesn't listen to the Hagman Report. She doesn't listen to any of your other alternative stations and stuff. She doesn't listen to this stuff. This is a woman of prayer. She just preaches the word, reads her Bible, and that's pretty much her life, what she does. And she's 80 years old. Back to the story. She said she was taken by the Lord to some island in the middle of nowhere. She doesn't know where she was at. She sees the plane. She sees some men with guns. This is what she's telling me. She said, I've seen some soldiers with guns walking the people off the plane. And as they're walking to them down the runway at gunpoint, but they're bringing them to some big hangar building. And I was like, so what happened? She said, on their walk, the Lord had me witnessing to each one before they got to that building, and I was stopping them along the walk and just asking them, have they received Jesus Christ as their Savior? Do they know Jesus? Would they like to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? And she asked each one individually, and praise the Lord, some of those passengers accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some of them did not. She said, Brother Keith, the soldiers were supernaturally blinded. They could not see me. I was invisible to them, but the people could see me. So I witnessed to each one. Some of them accepted Christ. Some of them didn't. She said, Keith, all I know, they were walking them into that big hangar thing, with that big hangar building, and I knew something bad was going to happen to them. And after I witnessed to the last passenger, the Lord supernaturally took me right back to my bedroom in North Carolina in my bed. And that was that. And I didn't want to tell anyone besides my son, because people would think I was crazy. And that's how the Lord works. I'm preaching about the subject of being translated, and I tell her she's not crazy, and I explain to her what she witnessed. She saw what happened to the passengers of that Malaysian Airlines plane, and God in his mercy, because this is a spiritual battle. What the biggest battle is going that's going on planet Earth right now is a battle for souls. Where you're going when you leave your earthly body. That's what this is all about. Where you're gonna head? Heaven or hell? Let's not get it confused. So if you got something to say, brother, I can keep going.
Well, you know, that story is very interesting, and we hear stories similar to that, you know, people with other experiences, and I'm not one to discount, you know, these people's experiences or what happened to them, because many of them are very faithful, Bible-believing Christians and have no reason to lie. But a lot of people, and I don't want to get too far off you know, the point here, but a lot of people will just write that stuff off as, you know, oh, that can't happen, you know, because, as you said, it's something in their mental process. They just won't believe it happens, even if they are Christian. But, I mean, that's the first time I've heard anything like that about that story. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I'm not saying that that didn't happen or what she experienced wasn't what really happened. I guess, brother, the point is, when everything's all said and done, we will know for sure.
Yes.
what happened.
Well, I can tell you this much. Like I said, I was just giving some of the surprises to the Hagman listeners. So the Hagman listeners, they can, in their prayer time, their special time, they can walk with the Lord and pray about things and say, hey, Lord, was this guy telling me the truth? You know, when the Lord will reveal things to you, that's the beauty of God. He'll reveal it to you. I know of more cases and situations like that, but what's really special, this is how God confirms things. You had a guest on your show, I don't even remember the guy's name, but this is how he confirmed an experience I had. This gentleman you had on your show a while back, he was speaking of the giants, and he was speaking that the tunnels and stuff underneath, I think, Antarctica and someplace else, and like places they were at. Do you remember that guest? Because I don't, but it was a show that provided a confirmation for me.
Yeah, we've had I know Steve Quayle and Greg Evenson a while back, a few years ago, and Tim Alberino have come on to talk about the Giants, and specifically Steve Quayle and Greg Evenson talking about Antarctica, Operation High Jump, and the things from after the Second World War. But yeah, and Steve Quayle is an author. He's written many books about Giants, and Tim Alberino has been working with him. And they talk about, you know, what a lot of things that people would consider extra biblical. Not that Giants are extra biblical, but, you know, getting into the book of Enoch and extra biblical texts like that. But there is a lot of evidence that if people start digging around of, you know, these underground cave networks, there's obviously been giants and will continue to be giants in some form here, as the Bible says. So it's a very real thing. At the same time, a lot of Christians will dismiss it because they feel that it's not accurate for whatever reason, even though it's in the Bible.
You know, one of the biggest problems today in Christianity, and that's why Christian America, that beacon on the hill that John Winthrop said, the light on the hill, it's the sad thing with a lot of the Christians today in the United States is the lack of belief. You know, Jesus, you know, when he upbraided his disciples, the Bible says he upbraided them for their unbelief. And in America, you know, we will believe this, we won't believe that. I mean, when I say that, I'm talking about, like, the Christians, you know, like, you know, it's like, well, you know, when I've heard this before, well, Jesus doesn't mind abortion. I'm like, oh, okay, oh boy, here we go. You know, I'm like, dude, which Bible are you reading? Look, I bring it up that point because, you're absolutely right. Some Christians, they won't believe it. You know, you'll have the testimonies. We can have 10 guys come on your show who are X 3-letter agency, and they'll come on with pictures and evidence and videotaped evidence and everything, and people still won't believe. That's just the way it is. But I have this experience on the subject of translation. I had an experience where I was supernaturally taken somewhere.
Pastor.
I didn't ask for it. You know? Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I didn't want you to get too far into that story. We got about a minute before the break. So, let's stop right here, and then we'll pick it up on the other side. And I don't know if anybody went over the show schedule with you. At 27 minutes to 30 minutes, we have a break. So it's a 3-minute break, not very long, in the halfway point and at the top of each hour. So, we are right around the corner from the break right now, just a minute. Folks, if you want Pastor Keith Iden's book, go to Amazon or just search The Prepper and the Preacher, A Spiritual Survival Guide. The book was released in 2015. It is, it's got great reviews on Amazon. Again, The Prepper and the Preacher, A Spiritual Survival Guide, as well as Pastor Keith's website, foodsurvivalstore.com. And we will hear more about both his book and his website and, the prepping preacher, as I'll give him the nickname. He'll be with us until the end of the show, so make sure you don't go anywhere on this edition of the Hagman Report this Thursday, the 26th of January. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are joined by a first-time guest, Pastor Keith Iden. You can go to his website, foodsurvivalstore.com, and check out his book, The Prepper and the Preacher, A Spiritual Survival Guide. Before the break, Pastor, you were telling us a story of you were speaking at a church, and you got a confirmation from, I believe it was the pastor's wife or an 80-year-old congregant of the church who had an experience being translated that dealt with the missing Malaysia flight, and you were about to tell a story yourself of an experience you had.
Yeah, brother, this experience has just caught me off guard. I believe, I take the Bible literally. I believe that the giants existed, and I also believe that they're still here. And I just, and my belief of it went up the scale. It went from the 1 to 8. It went, and let's just say that the maximum was 10. Now it went from a 1 to a million. That's how much I know they exist still. I had a supernatural experience where I was translated, and I was taken to a chamber with underneath, deep underground, and I had I had an angelic escort. And while I was there, I got to see them. They're down there. And the thing that's really freaky is, in the experience that I had, they were not only there, this place, there was part of it that looks like regular caves and caverns. Other parts of it had regular, technology like lights and regular rooms and things of that nature. But the thing that was very, very disturbing with them, all the giants, they're very cognizant of the time. Every single one of them, they have some kind of timepiece on them, whether it's an old watch or like the old watch that you would, see the guy in the 1800s with, the old little pocket watch, or a regular watch on their wrist, and they all had something to tell them the time. And it's no matter, whenever they would walk and go from place to place, they're always checking the time because they are very nervous of time. They know something that we don't know. And I personally believe they know that the coming of Jesus is approaching quickly. But they're very, they watch the time a lot. On top of that, one particular thing about them, they can sense fear. When I was in this chamber, I became very fearful because I'm talking about when you're seeing somebody, a dude 15 feet tall, who makes Shaquille O'Neal look like a midget, that will put some fear in you. And I was very fearful. And while I was with this particular angel, he couldn't see me. But when I kept cowering in fear, that's when he started to sense exactly where I was at. And he was able to figure out my location, and then he was able to sense me using scent. But he didn't smell my physical body. He smelled fear. So this is something I just want the listeners to know, that when the Bible says, do not fear, do not fear, there's more to that statement than we could even imagine. We can't be fearful in the day we're going into. But lo and behold, I had the angel of the Lord protecting me, so they weren't able to do anything to me. So there's much more to this story, but I wanted just to bring that, just to sum that up, to let people know that they are real, they're underground, and I will say this much, there are human beings in high positions of power on this planet that know that the giants exist and are working in collusion with them. So you can take that however you want to take that, but I'm not going to say any names of world leaders of who I witnessed, but this is very real. And the powers of darkness are real. This is not a bubblegum game. This is not a time and a day for us to be playing church. When I say playing church, like, you might go for a social hour, but you're not working on that real relationship with the Lord. This is a time where we have to be serious about our walk with God. We really want to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We can't just, you know, play games with it. This is a serious day we're in. And I know you guys know that, because I know the amount of truth that your show projects. I know you guys face all kinds of attacks. If it's not spiritual, it's through the electricity or the lines, the satellites. Something is always being hit. That I know for sure.
Yeah, you know, since you came on, our feed to Blog Talk has been cut somehow, and we can't reconnect. And it's not a big deal. We just upload the audio later. And, you know, we wonder why that is a lot of times, you know, what's going on. But back to the giants, because you got me very interested. I've read people having experiences like what you described, to even reading about, there was a few obscure articles about when, I don't know if it was the Desert Storm or if it was the latest Iraq invasion in 2003, where apparently, and this is a story I read, there were some soldiers who went into this cavern, and I don't know what they were looking for, but it came across, you know, what you described, a very tall giant. And the article gets into detail about how a few soldiers got caught up by it, and it ripped their arms off, killed them, you know. And when you read those things, you wonder. And when you see the many documentaries from, you know, about Atlantis, and you read Plato, and to what the Bible says, and to, you know, the book of Enoch, and so many of these what are considered extra-biblical texts, everything that I've learned and that the Lord has shown me and that I understand is exactly what you said. The giants have been on earth, and we know that in the end times that there is an army coming up from the earth that will you know, continue to pick up where the giants left off with the destruction of mankind, destroying everything in their path. And to discount this is doing a disservice to yourself, especially, like you said, to taking the Bible literally. And I believe that's, you know, we have to take the Bible literally. So I guess the question is, and you talked about the fear, that's very important, and the time. And that has me curious about the time. Would you say that the time was related to something like what we read about when Jesus found the naked man, the naked men in the tombs that were, you know, were demonically possessed, then they drove the spirits out into the pigs. They said, did you come to torment us before our time? Do you think it's related to time in that sense? Like something like a second coming is in the very near future? Or is it something else?
I absolutely, right there. You hit it right on the head. That scripture right there, because that's the one that the Holy Ghost really amplified for me. Because they, in the demonic realm, we're dealing with spirits. Now, a giant, to my belief, to my understanding, he it's a flesh body, but it mingled, commingled with a demonic spirit in this fleshly body. So here they have a little more sense as to what's going on in the spiritual realm, as opposed to a regular, all natural, 100% human being. Okay, so they, just like in that scripture, that demon, even though he had possessed that person, the demon knew that, wait, you can't torment, please don't torment me yet, it's not time, like, come on, give me a break. He knew that it wasn't quite the time yet. So, They know something in their way of keeping their time. Yeah, and there's 7 calendars on the planet right now. You know, the Gregorian calendar, the Julian calendar, the Chinese calendar, we can go down the list. They know something in their spiritual calendar. They know when that exact season of time is. And just like a lot of Christians today, who's the ones that are awake, we know that we're living in the last days. We don't know what day Jesus is coming. We don't know that, no. But we know we're in the last days. We know time is ticking. This, and they sense it too. So they must know something that, hey, you know what? At some certain point, this thing is about to get wide, is going to kick wide open, and they're going to make their appearance and come out of these little underground bunkers and their little tunnels and their little system. They're going to come out like we would look at a bunch of ants coming out of a ant hill. And when they come out, the believers, we have to really be prepared spiritually. We have to know that we have authority in Jesus' name. We can pray these things away. We can rebuke them. We can bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have that authority to do that thing, these things. The Lord actually showed me something on a walk, because I was very concerned after this particular episode in my life. I was on a walk, and I'm asking the Lord, like, should I invest in AR AR-15s with 308 rounds? Because I actually had a friend of mine who had a similar a dream, and it's a futuristic dream that he had, and he wasn't, the thing that was amazing, he wasn't somebody who was well versed on the subject of giants, but he's a Christian, and he told me that what's coming, people aren't going to want any other bullet besides 308 or bigger. And I was like, whoa. And he said, that's what he's seen. He said 308 rounds are going to be like gold. And I was like, wow. But saying that to say this, the Lord showed me on a walk, I was walking through the woods, and he said, if we have the faith, we can do just like Moses did, where Moses threw down his rod and it became a snake and it ate the other snakes. We can literally look at that big old dead log in the forest, and we can lay hands as believers and say, in the name of Jesus, turn into a snake and get that giant. And guess what? It can happen. And that's where God wants us to be with our faith in the days coming. We got to be ready to say, hey, Lord, we're putting this in your hands, because there's some things we're not going to be able to handle. And me personally, I don't know if I can get into a fist fight with a 15-foot dude. I really don't know. I tried it when I was in high school with a dude who was 6'9", and I'm 6'1", and that didn't work out so good.
Yeah, what you're talking about, and I think that this is the most important, is the spiritual preparedness aspect of things. Because we know, just from what the scriptures say, and forget about the giants, and forget about all the things that people might not believe. Just think about how the end times is described. You have, you know, what's written in Matthew 24, the famines, the natural disasters, the violence, what you mentioned earlier, you know, family turning on each other, you being delivered up to be killed for your faith. The Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the persecution of Christians, just those things alone. And then the supernatural aspect of what's going to happen in the tribulation period, you know, from God shielding his people, saving his people, and, you know, protecting his people from those forces of the Antichrist and darkness that are going to be hunting and pursuing them all throughout this time period. We have to be, first and foremost, more important than water, more important than food, more important than guns, bullets, gold, silver, whatever, is the spiritual preparedness aspect of this. Because as you said, that is going to be our main source of protection, is our own relationship with the Lord, our own spiritual preparedness. And how the Lord uses us during these times will depend on how our relationship with the Lord and how spiritually prepared for things we are. And nothing, I mean, yeah, you don't have, if you're not prepared spiritually, there's no point to prepare for any other, you know, eventuality, especially when you're talking about the tribulation. It's just very important.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. And I want to make sure the listeners just get this from me. I say readers because I know some of you may read my book. But it's one of those things where if we just do the basics, when I say the basics, yeah, of course accept Jesus as our Savior, and of course that, but I'm talking about when we do the basics that He shows us about praying in agreement. When Jesus said, if two or three are gathered in my name, or else when He says, when we touch and agree and pray on anything, it should be done of our Father in heaven. When we start doing the basics, there's so much power in that. I mean, we just dodged a major bullet, even though there's still trials and tribulations to come, with the very presidency. That was God, a sovereign God, answering the prayers of His people. There was praying and fasting going on, and God showed it, just like He's done in the Bible, that He said, okay, they're praying and they're fasting, all right, and they're all, a lot of them are doing it, okay, I'll answer them. He moved His hand, but we gotta keep our pedal on the metal now, because the powers of darkness, they're not exactly happening with this shift going in the country of it trying to go to righteousness. They're not exactly gonna just roll over and give up. No way! That's not how it works. This is just like dealing with the mob. If you've seen these gangster movies, these guys, they plan, then they figure out a way to come back and hit back hard. And we, as believers, we gotta be on our P's and Q's. Praying in agreement, there's so much power in it. I have a friend of mine who migrated here from Syria, of all places. Him and his wife, they became Christians. They grew up Muslim. They became Christians in Syria. Not exactly a good thing on the popularity movement over there. And sure enough, persecution came. And one day him and his wife were in town, and they had to walk and go somewhere else. And they saw a bunch of people who knew they became Christians. And they knew if those people got a hold of them, it was going to be over. And him and his wife prayed, they touched and prayed in agreement, just like the Bible says. They did it on faith. And sure enough, when those people walked past them, those people were supernaturally blinded. They did not see the man and his wife. They were blinded. They didn't see him. They walked right past them. And that's what the supernatural work, that's what God does. He answers prayer, but we still have to do our part. We have to read His Word and see some of the basics in His Word. One of the strongest powers that we have as believers, as Christians, is fasting. Fasting, when you do that, I mean, that really gets the door open to the supernatural realm. When you are willing to put down the cheeseburgers, put down the steaks, put down the french fries, when you're willing to put down the food and just say, Lord, I really want to hear from You. I really want You to move in my life. You know, and don't get me wrong, I know some people, you may have a health issue that you can't, okay, well, Brother Keith, I can't fast with no food, you know. Well, then do fruits and veggies and water. You know, just modify it to the best of your ability. But the ones of you that are listening that can fast, there's so much power in it, and that's where what we have to do. Joe, I had an experience fasting, and let me tell you, in the preparedness world, because I'm a prepper, it's drilled in our head, there's the rule of threes, that you can go 3 minutes without oxygen, 3 days without water, and was it, no, 3 days without, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks with no, 3 weeks with no food. That's what's told in the prepping world, okay? Because we've heard that from ex-military and nurses. Let me tell you something. As a prepper, I've heard it for years. But when the Lord had me go on a fast, He told me I needed to fast because there was a couple things He wanted me to do. Now, up to this point, I've fasted maybe 5 days maximum. I never went beyond that. And He told me to go on a fast, which was beyond 3 weeks. So that should just give you a hint on how long I was fasting. It was beyond 3 weeks. When I got to the 19th day, Joe, I thought I was going to die. It was at a point my wife looked at me. I couldn't even get up off the couch. And I was still drinking water, but I couldn't move. And she was that worried about me. And I just prayed a simple prayer. I said, Lord, I know You like when we fast. And if You really want me to fast beyond 3 weeks and really do this long fast, Lord, I'm going to need You to do something or else it's going to be a problem. I need Your help right now. Joe, I went to sleep that night. I woke up and I was in an office in an office, two big tall guys, one of them Caucasian, one of them black. They came over, had a conversation with me, and we're talking. They're very nice guys. But one of them looked like something out of a commando movie. He was tall and mean and muscles. The other guy was real friendly. But long story short, they had a nice conversation with me. They pulled out a Ziploc bag of some food. I was like, it's a Ziploc bag. And they were snacking on it. They said, you want some? I said, sure. And they gave me some. They said, consider it a gift. I was like, it is, yeah. They said, yeah, God is proud of you. Just consider it a gift. So I start eating this white powdery stuff, and I'm feeling energized. It tastes a little bit like honey and oats mixed, and I was just like, that's pretty neat stuff. And I'm thinking it's just a little dream, and I'm just here chit-chatting with the guys. Joe, when I woke up in my bed, the food was still in my mouth. Now, I want the listeners to understand what I said. The food was still in my mouth when I woke up. I freaked out. I thought I was so hungry I was eating my pillowcase. That's what I thought. I was like, what the heck? Did I eat my pillowcase? What's going on here? I was scared. And sure enough, I got up, I ran and told my wife what happened. My wife says, you idiot. Those were angels. They gave you manna. They gave you manna. And I said, honey, they must have gave me manna. I felt like $1 million, Joe. If you told me to run from North Carolina to Pennsylvania at that moment, I could do it without even thinking twice about it. That's how good I felt. Okay?
That's amazing.
I'm letting the listeners understand that this is not a game. Jesus is real. The miracles are real. If you reach out to him, fasting is one of our quickest ways to enter into the supernatural. And with some of the stuff that's coming down this pipeline towards us, because I'm fearful in a healthy sense, because a lot of Christians are letting their guard down because Donald mm-hmm. Trump won the election. They're letting their guard down, and now is the time we got to put our pedal to the metal in what we do with our prayer life. Because if we let our guard down, the evil is going to bubble back up really hard, and we can't let our guard down now. We have to push forward because they are angry, and we need to still be praying. All the praying that we did before the election, we got to keep doing it because this is a heavyweight fight, and that boxer on the other end who we just knocked down is about to get back up really mad. You go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and you know, you make some great points. Excuse me, about the prayer. One thing that I have seen is now that Trump's in office, a lot of people have put their feet up, have sat back and relaxed, and that creates an atmosphere for, you know, things to creep back in. People aren't paying as much attention. They don't have their finger on the pulse like they did before. They don't, as you said, the prayers, you know, kind of go dwindle off. And one thing during this election I saw more so than any other election is the amount of people that prayed on the internet comment sections under, you know, all these different articles in the, on different forums. So many people said, you know, that they were hitting their knees and praying. And I would imagine that many of them weren't Christians from the amount I saw over this last election cycle. And you're exactly right. Now is not the time to take our foot off the gas. Now is not the time to, you know, think that we can take time off from our spiritual life or a spiritual walk. There is never a good time to take off from your spiritual walk because you leave yourself open and, you know, those around you to attacks. And we know that the enemy never sleeps and is always looking for an opportunity, such as somebody, you know, slacking off in their spiritual walk, to strike. And that's all it takes is for us not to be alert, specifically in our spiritual life, in our spiritual preparedness, and in our spiritual walk. And it's so important that people understand this, because we could end up in a much worse situation than we were in before the election, or you know, pick your time period. And that's historically what happens. The people are given, you know, time. They take that as an indicator that everything's going to be okay from here on out, when it never is, and that leads to a worse destruction than what they were facing the first time around. And that's very important that people understand that. And if it's not our nation you're concerned about, make sure it's your own and your family's own spiritual health. Because, as I said, you start slacking in areas, and the enemy will take that as an opportunity to strike. And there's no the Bible says that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And I say this often, it doesn't mean that no weapon will be formed against you or attempted to be used on you. So,
amen.
We have to be mindful of that.
You know what? You hit it right on the head. And, I sum it up like this. I tell people the best thing you can do is to let people see Jesus in you. That's the mm-hmm. best thing you can do. Even today, with all the nonsense, we know we've got certain groups and elements that are funded to stir up the racial discontent. There's so many people, who are trying to start a civil war as well as civil unrest. We know there's people in a finance, there's an evil hand with a demonic financial hand behind some of these things. We know this. And this is where we have to do our best as Christians. We have to really show that face of Jesus with people. I mean, I'm an African American guy. I go into gun shows throughout the South. I go to gun shows. I set up booths there and I sell my books and sometimes survival goods. I go to gun shows. In, I call out Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. I do gun shows in some of the most backwood country places. I've been to places where they say stereotypically there's no black people and there's never going to be any black people in some of these areas. But here's the thing. Because I walk with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, I go into these places where I might be the only black face in that place. And dudes who may have been racist, by the time I'm done with that gun show, they're my friend. These guys will have my number, I'll have their number. They'll call me personally, instead of calling their own pastor, they'll call me personally for me to pray for them. Because they didn't see my skin color, they started seeing Jesus in me. And that's the same flip I would tell all the listeners out there. You may think that you might go into a certain neighborhood that, yeah, okay, it might be all Mexicans, it might be all black guys. You may not know that they're looking for some light. They're looking for someone who's going to really represent Jesus to them. And when people experience Jesus through you, you don't understand the type of wall that can really break down. I was in the presence once of an ex-British SAS guy, and this is in my book. This guy, I'm just saying he's been through it all. And he had every right to be mad at the world, mad at his government, everything for some of the things he's been through. And I just stayed in his face as much as he wanted to hit me, and he was railing up to hit me. I just kept telling him, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And he just kept dropping the F-bombs at me, and I just said, man, Jesus loves you, brother. He loves you. He died for you. He loves you. And I stayed right in his face arguing with him, kept telling him how Jesus loves him for about 5 minutes, and eventually, instead of punching me in my face, the guy just broke down and started crying right there in front of me, a grown man. And you know what? That's the power that Jesus has, because Jesus is bringing real love to people. That's what we have to do. We're gonna break these devils and these people out here trying to cause all this civil disobedience. We have to break them with love, with the love of Christ. That's
Amen,
the
Pastor.
Way we break them.
Don't mean to cut you off, but we're up against the break. When we come back, if we can, we'll get into your ministry and your book, The Prepper and the Preacher, A Spiritual Survival Guide. We'll be right back. Stay with us.